The Garden by Francis Rosenfeld. Chapter 1. The Garden of Despair. The Purple Flowers. When she had time, Simi sat down with Rahima and they went over the events of the day, their joys and upsets and what the future might bring. "Why do you think we're here, Simi?" Rahima asked. "What do you mean?" "We were born here."
"Yes, but why? Why here, where everything has to be so hard? Do you think there is some other place, maybe, where life is easier? There's got to be an easier way to get through this valley of tears."
Rahima frowned, dejected.
"Why, you mean like the outside?"
Simi replied. "You never thought about it?" Rahima asked sheepishly, because she wasn't all that convinced there wasn't something sinful about her inquiry.
"No," Simi pondered. "I mean, why do you think it's different on the other side of the wall?
For all we can tell, it's probably the same. The sky doesn't end at the wall, nor does it change in any way.
I bet you the outside is just the same."
"Good grief, Simi. Can't you at least let a girl dream?" Rahima brought the absolute argument to dissolve her friend's skeptical outlook on life. How could Simi, of all people, discourage her friend from searching for a better way, and who was to know that her friend couldn't see that way, that she didn't have all its details in her head, just like Simi had her garden?
"Maybe you're right. What do you think it is like? What if there's water outside these walls? What if there are beautiful flowers growing out there? What if we've trapped ourselves behind these walls for reasons that have long ceased to matter and now we're just going through the motions without thinking?"
Simi wanted to ask her friend how come she never told her that she could see the flowers too. Nobody in their world could know what a flower even was, or what it looked like, unless they saw it in their mind. Of course, when one had to spend all of one's life essence scouring the dirt for bitter roots, one didn't have much time or disposition for esoteric discussions.
"What kind of flowers, Rahima?"
Simi asked, almost in a whisper.
"Purple flowers, Simi. There are all these purple flowers everywhere. They are tall, and their stems are spiky, and they look very harsh, but then, when they bloom, they are beautiful, like fuzzy pincushions swaying in the wind. An entire field of them. You can't see the end of it."
Simi also wanted to ask her friend how did she know what purple looked like. There was no such color in their world, where everything was painted tan and brown, and where even white was a precious commodity, given the fact that, with the scarcity of water, things were difficult to clean.
"And you are saying this is what you believe the world is like outside the walls?"
"I don't believe," Rahima whispered so softly that her comment was thought more than spoken.
"I know. But think about it, Rahima. If those flowers are indeed there, what is to stop the wind from bringing their seeds over here? There is no barrier in the sky. Surely they'd be blown over the walls, eventually.
Maybe they don't take root for lack of water," Rahima followed the logical argument.
"But what if we could find some and plant them on purpose and give them water? Then there would be no doubt that the purple flowers existed."
"How?"
Rahima asked.
"We don't even know what their seeds look like."
Simi also wanted to ask her friend how come she knew what a seed was for. Since the bitter roots in their garden didn't bear fruit, they propagated by spreading underground and sprouting their rugged foliage here and there, but she figured that their conversation would become absurd at this point, so she dropped the matter altogether and took the details on faith. Between root harvesting and searching for something as inconspicuous as a tiny plant seed, Simi and Rahima's lives were too busy to allow them to notice the subtle changes in the weather, the sudden gusts of wind that came out of nowhere, the rare clouds that passed across the sky occasionally, the unusually warm desert nights. The tubers seemed to be more abundant, and that's all the community cared about. The girls wore themselves out searching the land in every direction for even the memory of a seed, but, whether they didn't know what to look for or there wasn't anything to be found, their search came out empty. Even Rahima gave up on the possibility, thinking that maybe the seeds were too heavy to be carried by the wind, but they still spent as much time as they could engaged in hypothetical discussions about what the outer world might look like. That's why when the first rain fell, it took everybody by surprise, and because nobody had seen rain before, they immediately declared it evil. There was no doubt in anyone's mind that duplicitous snake, Cimarron, was involved in what could only be the work of the devil. How else would she bring food out of bare dirt other than by summoning the powers of darkness to her side? Now something as unholy as water falling from the sky had occurred, and the end of their world couldn't be far behind. I told you nothing good would come of this, nobody is that lucky, not without evil on their side. Josepha jumped at the chance to portend doom and looked forward to damnation, so that she could show Bertha who was truly right. Now you'll see punishment come down upon us from above, as it is well deserved. It will kill all of our tubers, you just wait and see. We're all going to die because we gave in to that spawn of darkness. You listen to me, girl, she grabbed Simmy, who had the misfortune to pass her by precisely at that time. One might bring up the laws of synchronicity and offer this instance as the perfect example, but that one would not be Bertha, who stood firm in her belief that all unexplainable events and coincidences were generated by the dark works of the likes of Simmy. Rain included. You lift this curse off our heads right now, you hear? Don't you think for a second I'd spare a moment of doubt about wasting your degenerate hide? What have you done to us? Answer me. Simmy returned her gaze with a stare that was so sincerely idiotic it made Bertha gasp, taken aback, and let go of her with a big sigh. Still useless, I see. Bertha said, frustrated that she didn't get the answer to her problem. Simmy was happy to clear the field before another hand grabbed her, but she couldn't help notice the absence of the word cockroach. She wondered if that was a good thing or a bad thing. In all fairness, being a cockroach was worse than being useless, although being a useless cockroach did bring out the worst of both worlds.